Welcome to the Bible Girl Podcast. I'm Jessica Robinson, and I have a great love for God's Word, journal writing, and gel pens in every color. I combine these loves into one great passion, studying God's Word. Today, our topic is on people-pleasing, and I think there's many of you who would relate in some way to what we're going to be talking about today. People-pleasing is something that we fight and battle with as Christians, and just human nature. We want people to like us. We want to make people happy. It's kind of in our DNA, some of us more than others. But it's really easy to take that people-pleasing and turn it into something that goes beyond just trying to be kind and meet people's needs, into something that is out of control and even dangerous. So I want to talk for just a few moments about this. This came from a verse in Galatians I was reading recently. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul begins the kind of a dissertation, so to speak, on the authenticity of the gospel, and talks about how there is only one good news. And apparently there were a lot of people that were preaching a gospel other than what Jesus proclaimed and what Paul was spreading throughout the region. And so he spends a few verses in chapter 1 condemning the people who have been spreading this false gospel and promoting it. And then he follows it up by this verse in chapter 1, verse 10. He says, "Obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant." A couple of things stood out to me immediately. First of all, Paul is very tongue-in-cheek here. He's kind of making a joke, so to speak, in his very straightforward, pull-no-punches manner. He is just basically ticked a lot of people off. He's using these verses before verse 10 to condemn people for doing something wrong. And he knows they're going to be upset with him because he's, you know, publicly called out what they're doing. And he knows they're not going to like it. So then he says, "Well, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people," because he's certainly not going to get it after the previous verses. But then he goes on to say, if that were my goal, if that was what was important to me, then I wouldn't have become Christ's servant. And here I think his message is kind of twofold. Number one, there is the concept of choosing Christ does alienate you from those who don't choose Christ. Even Jesus said that in the gospel, you know, the Christ is going to bring a divide between father and wife and mother and daughter and father and son and between friends, because there's a moment where if you choose to walk away from Christ, then that fellowship between you and someone else is forever changed. And in many cultures today, choosing to be a disciple of Christ, you can be alienated from your family or your community. Definitely, you know, Christ believing in the gospel will always put those in opposition to the gospel as your enemies in one way or another. So he's saying, I can't, you know, if I choose Christ's way, there's always going to be division between me and those who don't. And so people pleasing, you know, I'm not going to be able to make those people happy. But I think he also is saying here, you know, that there's a better goal here. You know, my goal is not to please people, but my goal is to please Christ. And pleasing Christ will always come first. And that means that people will be unhappy with me. If you've served in any kind of leadership position in a church or maybe a charity, a parachurch organization, and you're making decisions based on what you believe that God would have you do, or maybe based on policies or mission statements for an organization, you know what Paul's saying here. It's really hard to live up to trying to do your job well at the same time make Christ's approval the number one goal. I think that all of us can relate in some way to people pleasing, because I think it's kind of, it kind of creeps in. I think it can come from a good place. You know, we want to be there for our family and our friends. We want to make their lives better. I think as women, you know, my audience is of listeners is, as far as I know, all women. You know, we kind of have that serving gene. You know, we're used to making meals and cooking laundry and running the carpool and working in the kitchen at church for fellowship events. That's just kind of in our nature. And so just to continue to serve others by making them happy, it seems somewhat natural. And there's nothing wrong with that on one level. But when it goes too far, there's some things that can happen. And I want to kind of go over a few of these consequences of the wrong kind of people pleasing. And a few reasons why. You know, we really need to be careful about this because it can be very dangerous for us. The first thing that comes to my mind is when people pleasing goes too far, you make the person you're trying to please to be an idol. You make that person out to be the most important thing in the world and you sacrifice for that. But is that person supposed to be, is their opinion of you supposed to be the most important thing in your world? I think that position belongs to Christ, who saved you and loved you and redeemed you and forgives you and is with you at every moment. He is supposed to be the only thing that you worship. He's the only one that you should worship. When you begin to fall into a unhealthy trap of people-pleasing, you begin to worship the opinion of someone else. And that is never, ever going to be successful. Which leads me to the second thing that happens when we take it too far. We set ourselves up for continual disappointment. It's impossible to please people. I remember several years ago, I did a survey in after a women's retreat about, you know, Sunday school and what kind of classes we should offer in women's ministry events. And I remember being really frustrated when I was finished with the survey because there were some people had written on their survey, you know, I need longer studies. These studies are too short. And then there would be, you know, the same general number of people on the other hand that would say, these studies are so long, I can't do them. You need to make them shorter. And, you know, we spent too much time on this or we didn't spend enough time on that. It was very obvious in looking at 50 or 60 surveys that, you know, I can't please everyone. You set yourself up for a very discouraging life if you're trying to please people, especially if you're trying to please a group of people. If you have one person that you're trying to please, it becomes exhausting and demanding. But when you're trying to please a group of people, it becomes impossible. You cannot make a group of people happy. And the reason is because every person in that group has their own set of expectations. They have their own set of values and goals. And when they come to an event or they spend time with you or they do something in a group with you, they bring along their own ideas. And you can't please every one of those people with their own set of ideas and expectations. And you live an exhausting life. You live a life that's constantly unsettled because you're back and forth and here and there. And just whoever you're with at the moment, you're just trying to make them happy. And that's a very dangerous way to live. Another thing is it's very manipulative. You do an action and they should respond favorably. It kind of gives you the idea that you can trick someone or coerce someone into giving you something that you want. You want their approval, so you do what you think they want so that they will give it to you. That's very manipulative. Oftentimes, you know, when I hear and read books on people pleasing, or I hear about, you know, women who try to make everyone around them happy. When you kind of read those kinds of articles and books, you know, they spend a lot of time addressing demanding people and, you know, why, you know, you should set boundaries and back up and you don't need to please them. And that stuff is all good. That's really important. I believe in boundaries. But we don't put in much time, I think, talking about the actual motivations of the person who is doing the people pleasing. And oftentimes the motivation is manipulation. It's trying to get something that they need in a way that is underhanded and deceptive. If you take people pleasing too far, you become manipulative and false with the people around you. You choose your actions based on the response that it will give you. And you know how to get that response by doing certain things, and you do that. And that's a very unhealthy way to live. It alienates people. It makes you, it hides a part of yourself from the world. And that leads me to another thing that is very dangerous when it comes to people pleasing, is it's really easy to lose your own identity. We see this very graphically in women who are in battered situations with a spouse, or maybe teenage girls with a parent or something in a home that is abusive to them, and they begin to act in a way that will keep the peace in their home. And over time, their own opinions, their own identity and personality is completely destroyed. You see, women, I've talked to people that work in shelters with battered women, and they talk about, you know, how difficult it is to even get them to file for divorce or to keep a checkbook, because all these years they've believed that they're dumb and that they're stupid and that they can't do those things. Because they have put on that persona to keep the peace in their home as best they could. And over time, they begin to believe it. Their real identity is lost. And this happens even in situations where there are not abuse. I think it isn't that in those cases, you know, your identity can often be completely forgotten. In the average person who goes too far with their people pleasing, they hide their own identity. And there's something different with each person they're trying to please. And over time, they become a different person with each person that they're with. And that's very dangerous. That's actually a form of narcissism. And it can lead to a lot of psychological problems if people-pleasing becomes your norm with every person around you. If you are consistently trying to make every person in your life happy, you will adapt to their expectations of you, and you will begin to lose your own identity. Another thing that is so common when people fall into dangerous levels of people pleasing is they develop a faulty value system. They begin to value what will get them the reward that they want, that pleasure of them from another person, that validation. And that becomes more important than other things that should be important. I'll give you an example of this in the book of John. In the book of John chapter 12, Jesus has been talking to the people. In John 11, he raises Lazarus from the dead. In the beginning of John chapter 12, a woman anoints Jesus with perfume. He rides into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and begins to talk to the people. And it says in verse John 12, verse 42, many people did believe in him, however, including some of the Jewish leaders. But they wouldn't admit it for fear that the Pharisees would expel them from the synagogue, for they loved human praise more than the praise of God. These are people who heard Jesus speak, and they believed. They knew what he was saying was true. But they pushed the truth aside and chose instead to side with the Pharisees to keep their position and their standing. So their position as a Pharisee and their respect in their community meant more to them than choosing the kingdom of God. And unless these men later repented of that and chose to believe, they died without believing in Christ. Their value system was so faulty, they chose the opinion of others over the opinion of God. If you take people-pleasing too far, you will begin to make choices based on a value system that is dangerous, a value system that is completely flawed, and a value system that's going to have repercussions in your life as you continue on. When you begin to make choices based on the values of someone else or on keeping the good opinion of someone else, you're really headed for a lot of heartbreak. 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul is writing to his young charge, Timothy, and he says to him, "Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval." Paul wrote over and over in the epistles about wanting to finish the race well, about wanting to see God in heaven one day and know that he did his tasks well, that God approved of the work that he did here. You know, when we begin to focus on pleasing others, we focus too much on the outside actions of what we do, and not enough on the inside person we are becoming. And that is oh so precious to God. Who you are on the inside, how he's creating you, the character that you have, the heart that you have for others, the grace and mercy you can extend to others and receive for yourself. That inner working of your heart, the inside, is what God is consumed with. In Philippians, Paul reminds us that God, who began a work in us, will complete it. He is working inside of you. And when we please others, we're so focused on outside actions and achieving that carrot at the end of the stick that the people around us are dangling out with their expectations, we begin to lose the focus of what God is doing inside, what God is making of us, the kind of person that we are becoming. Let me encourage you just a second. You do not need to seek the approval of others. God's already approved of you. If you are a child of God, he has applied the sacrifice of Christ on your behalf, and this is what is true of you. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now, you Gentiles have also heard this truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised, and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. I'm practically crying as I read that. What a relief it is to know that he approves of us, that he values us, that he chose us long ago, worked out a plan for our adoption into his family, and forgives us of everything. Christ's sacrifice on the cross gave us a standing with God that no one can take away, and that is worth infinitely more than the approval of any single person in your life. Let's work hard, as Paul says in Timothy. Work hard for the kingdom of God. Do your best on this earth to glorify God, and to do as he asks, and know that he loves you, he approves of you, he cares for you, he's forgiven you, and he'll never let you go. Thanks for joining me today. If you have questions or comments, you can email me at BibleGirlPodcast@gmail.com. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Goodreads, and Pinterest under the username Jessie L. Robinson. And that's Jessie with an I, J-E-S-S-I-L Robinson. You can get articles, show notes, links to things referred to on the podcast, and more on my Tumblr blog, which is BibleGirlPodcast.tumblr.com. Links to all my social media and blog sites are on the podcast page at BibleGirl.podbean.com.